Today on More to Life, finding peace. Has worry become a full-time job? Let us help you find grace-filled ways to clock out and find a more peaceful way of living. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, finding peace. Has worry or anxiety become a full-time job? Are there specific problems in your life or relationships that are weighing heavily on your mind, maybe keeping you up at night, just causing you to feel preoccupied with those concerns? Or are you just in general feeling a little more anxious and you're not quite sure what to do about it? We want to help you find grace-filled ways to reclaim your peace. 877-573-7825.
You know, I think that it's very hard not to have to wrestle with this to some degree or another. Certainly, if you turn on a secular news, they're going to ratchet up your anxiety. They're going to steal your sense of peace in about a 30-second soundbite. And on top of that, we worry about our loved ones. We worry about all the things we're not in control of. We worry about all the things we should be in control of but can't always control. We care, we love our people, and we want to know how to have the peace and be able to enjoy them rather than being concerned, worrying, feeling anxious, all those things that are less than peaceful. And I have to say, on top of that, because we have so many places in Scripture that tell us that Jesus wants us to be peaceful, we then, when we don't feel a sense of peace, Satan comes along and sticks a whole heap load of guilt on top of us for not being a good Christian and feeling a sense of peace all the time. But not having that peace doesn't make you not a good Christian. It makes you a human being. But we need skills. We need ways to tap into God's grace and peace that maybe we don't either know or aren't exercising fully. So let us help you connect with more peace and more grace in your life today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And tell us, what challenges are you facing that are undermining your peace? Are you worried about a particular problem in your life or relationships? Are you struggling to know how to respond to a stressful event? Or maybe you just feel more anxious in general, and you're not quite sure how to reclaim that sense of peace. We want to help you discover the peace and solutions God has in His heart for you. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And you might be wondering, well, how could any theology help me feel more peaceful or deal with anxiety and worry more effectively? Well, glad you asked. So, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. He basically said, you know, if we took everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
Now, the theology of the body reminds us that every human person is made for love and communion. And when we forget this, anxiety often takes over. St. John Paul II constantly told us, be not afraid. He wanted us to remember that if Christ is with us, truly no one can be against us.
In fact, modern neuroscience backs this up. So here's something that a lot of people don't realize. Anxiety isn't an automatic response to stress. In fact, when we feel securely connected to God and others, science shows that our brains release chemicals that help us to stay calm, focused, and solution-oriented, even in the face of problems. But when we feel disconnected from God and others, especially in relatively good times, our brain's fire alarm system activates. As Genesis 2:18 says, it's not good for man to be alone. And when we lose sight of that truth, our brain rebels, and we become more vulnerable to worry.
Which makes sense, because psychologists say that worry often comes from a misplaced attempt to control. We think that if we worry hard enough, we can stop bad things from happening all on our own power. Worry makes us reactive, grasping for a false control, rather than receptive to God's grace.
So the theology of the body teaches that receptivity is the alternative to reactivity. It's the choice I have to make to stop running around trying to fix everything myself, and instead centering myself in God's presence and praying, you know, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I know you are here. Teach me how to respond, and help me stop trying to handle everything myself. And that's how we become open to the Holy Spirit's guidance.
So when anxiety hits, it's not a cue to fix everything ourselves. It's an invitation to strengthen our bonds with God and others. That's when we discover the peace Christ promises, peace that this world cannot give.
So there you have it, right? Peace comes from maintaining those connections with God, with others, with our own best selves, even in difficult times. But that, of course, is easier said than done. And how do we pull it off in our own unique circumstances? Well, that's what we're unpacking on today's show. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let us help you respond gracefully to whatever challenges you're facing that are undermining your peace and causing you to be anxious or worried. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of
the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you, and we bring to you those problems that are worrying us, that are frustrating us, that are causing us to be anxious, and we ask you to help us to not give in to the temptation to run around trying to fix everything ourselves, but rather to center ourselves first in you and the love and support of the people around us, and help us then to respond to the challenges we face in that more receptive spirit that allows us to hear your voice, to know your will, and to be the people you are calling us to be, in good times and in bad and everywhere in between. Help us to respond to these challenges in ways that enable us to reclaim our sense of peace and purpose, and allow us to cooperate with your grace to build your kingdom in everything that we do. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we're talking about finding peace, especially in the face of particular stressors or worries or anxieties that are undermining that sense of peace. If you've got a particular problem you're worried about, and you'd like some grace-filled solutions, or you're just feeling a little anxious in general, and you're looking for some help, give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Tracy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas.
Tracy, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I'm in the midst of one of my adult children. We have seven, and this is one of our middle children, and she's engaged and has left the Eucharist and is engaged to a Christian and is planning to...
You mean a non-Catholic Christian, I'm telling you?
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
planning to elope to a destination wedding and then have a reception. Now, my husband, we are traditional Catholics, and, you know, I'm trying to find my balance and to stay with God when he wants to shun them from our family and have nothing to do with them, even though he does, he is having something to do with them, but he's planning ahead 10 steps. You know, he's an entrepreneur, so he says in the future.
Are you guys praying about this together at all?
We're praying about it, but not together. I have started back up the family rosary.
Do you guys pray together at all?
No.
Would he be open to starting?
Pardon me?
Would he be open to starting to pray with you about all in general and about all this in particular?
I can't answer for him. I just, when I've attempted, he's not ready.
I guess you just...
Then you just answered it. Because, you know, for you to say you can't answer for him means two things. One, you guys are not really pursuing God together in a meaningful way. And the spiritual intimacy that you deserve in your own sacramental marriage, never mind your daughter's. And secondly, he's stonewalling you. If you're saying he says he's not ready to pray with you, but he's willing to base all of his decisions about his family life unilaterally on his own faith without praying with his wife, without praying really.
It's not about faith. It's about his ego.
This is just out of order.
You can have a marriage with Christians in it, but you can't have a Christian marriage unless you guys are praying together to discern God's plan for everything. I don't want to be hard on you. This is a heartbreaking thing to have to deal with. Okay, my heart is breaking for you and for your husband and for your family in the face of this. But I need you to understand something here. You know, your daughter grew up not seeing how faith is relevant to relationship because you guys don't pray together. Your faith isn't relevant to your relationship, so you didn't model a Christian marriage for your kids in general. And so when your daughter doesn't understand why the Catholic faith is important and why it's important to be married in the church, our hearts break, right? But we have to look at the witness that we gave. Did we model how our Catholic faith actually gave us a healthy, holy, intimate Christian marriage and family life? And if we didn't, then that's where we need to look. Right? Because kids own their faith as adults when they experience the faith as the source of the warmth in their home. And if you're saying that not only is your husband unwilling, I mean, do you and your husband not pray together, he might not be willing to, then how is your marriage any better? So, I'm not saying this because I want to make you feel bad. I'm saying this because I need you to look at where the problem actually is. And shunning your children isn't going to help them see how their Catholic faith helps them draw closer to God and each other, especially in marriage and family life.
And in this particular situation, by shunning your daughter for marrying a non-Catholic Christian, he will be giving up any chance to influence her, any chance to share his own faith with her as she goes along in life, any chance to share what the Eucharist really means to her in a more meaningful way. He'll be just cutting off everything rather than saying, all right, she's still pursuing Christ, and let me be there to witness to the fact that she's pursuing Christ and to accompany her along the way in a prayerful way and hopefully in a way that will lead her and her future husband into full communion with the Catholic Church again.
I want you to download the podcast for this show later on today, and I want you to play it for your husband. And I want to talk to him directly right now. It's like, I believe that you're coming from a good place. You want what's best for your daughter, and that's a beautiful thing. But it's not enough to want good things for our kids. We have to look at how we're teaching them to get those things. And by not praying together and not submitting our will to God and saying, Lord, I don't know how to do this. My heart is breaking. I want my daughter to love you and to love the church, but I don't know how to get her there. Help us, me and my wife, to figure out what your will is and help us to take care of each other while we work together to figure that out. That needs to be the prayer every day. And you need to really listen to what God is saying, not to your own pride, not to your own anger, not to your own frustration, but with humility, looking at, did we really model the kind of relationship that shows our daughter why the Catholic faith is important to marriage and family life? And if we're not praying together, then no, we didn't. And that's on us. Okay, that's not to make us feel bad. That's to make us responsible and see what we need to do moving forward to be able to bear witness to what God is calling us to in our marriage and what God is calling her to in her marriage. And I also want you to pick up a copy of our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, because it's going to talk about how to accompany your daughter without throwing your faith under the bus. There are some simple ways, simple things to keep in mind that can be hard to practice, but the book will coach you through that. And if you want more support in working through this, I really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But as much as we want our children to be faithful, and as good as that is, and as that is the most important thing, we have to make sure that we are modeling that in our own lives if we expect our kids to have it, and not just treat Catholicism as a bunch of rules that we follow blindly, but as a relationship that we live joyfully. Thank you for the call, Tracy. And again, I want you to download the podcast later on today, and I want you to play it for your husband. And I want to talk to him directly about this, man to man. And I also would like you guys to pick up a copy of Praying For and With Your Spouse, which is a book that we did that really talks about how to have meaningful couple prayer and how to discern things together and place your marriage under the headship of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the call. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Again, here are the books that we recommended, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, and also Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. And you can also pick up those titles at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can learn more about our Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral counseling practice if you'd like more personalized support. Thank you again for the call, Tracy. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls at 877-573-7825 about finding peace. Is there a particular problem or concern that's got you worried or anxious? Or maybe you're just feeling anxious in general these days and you're looking for ways to hold on to your sense of peace. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Hi, this is Mike Ditka.
Hey, this is Brian May.
Hi, I'm Chris Farley. You're listening to The Kevin Matthews Show.
I thought he was insane. A lot of people thought he was insane.
Nobody could touch us. We had 10 million people listening to us a week.
But that was my past. If you would have told me I'd be carrying around a broken statue of the Virgin Mary, talking about God, I'd say, are you high?
Broken Mary, the Kevin Matthews story. In theaters one day only on Tuesday, October 7th. Tickets at BrokenMaryFilm.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, finding peace. Has worry become a full-time job? We want to help you find grace-filled ways to clock out and find more peaceful ways of living. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue from the Theology of the Body Institute. Hey, Bill. Welcome to More to Life.
Good morning, Dr. Greg. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. And you know, we're obviously talking about anxiety, and you wanted to share some insights on what we can do when we're feeling anxious and we don't know what to do.
Yes, and the first thing that came to mind, and I hope your listeners get a kick out of this, note that I have four children. Two of them are young girls. Frozen 2 has a song. And
okay.
I kind of attempted to sing it, but there's a character... It's Anna, or Anna, and she's stuck in the bottom of this pit. There seems like there's no way out. And she says, so I'll walk through, well, she sings, I'll walk through this night, stumbling blindly toward the light, and do the next right thing. Dr. Greg, I really wanted to sing that.
It sounds like we can find theology anywhere, but also rightly ordered psychology with it.
Do the next right thing. I love this. Well, because it, you know, this speaks to something we actually talk about regularly when we talk about anxiety, that anxiety is often the enemy's attempt to distract us from doing what we can do by worrying about what we can't.
Yeah, and actually, you know, the idea of frozen, I mean, really, it often either freezes us in place so we can't do anything or makes us choose the next not right thing. So it's wise information. It aligns with some good theologians as well, doesn't it, Bill?
It does. Lisa, I love what you did there with the frozen freezing thing. So leading then into a Spanish mystic, St. Teresa of Avila, she said, and this really does, to your point, Lisa, ground us. She said, God is in the pots and pans. In other words, the next right thing, if it's chaos, if things are out of control, I don't know what to do, do the dishes. And just be grounded and do what you can. And it'll start to lead into a kind of peace, just like the singer of this song. It starts to move into the next right thing and next right thing. Before you know it, peace has been reestablished. You're connected again to yourself, to God's presence. And in the end, to quote another mystic, Blessed Julian of Norwich, all shall be well. In all things, all shall be well.
It's, you know, I think you're really describing an important process here, because we have a tendency when we're anxious about a problem to sort of put everything on hold until we figure the problem out. And also, we're looking for the one big thing that's going to solve the problem.
The one big thing. And when we can't see it, that's what freezes us in place.
Yeah, but what you're really describing here is a process where we have to kind of do two things at once. One, keep bringing that larger problem to God, but not become so preoccupied with it that we stop doing the next right thing, as you said, you know, doing the dishes, attending to the kids, doing the work that's in front of us, and continuing to pray about that big thing, because the more space we can create, the more we can actually hear God speaking through those next right things, I think. I mean, have you experienced that yourself?
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm hearing again, the saints and mystics were all over this. I'm hearing now St. Therese of Lisieux, who's a doctor of the church. And, you know, what's one of her main principles? It's the little way. And just that little way is really a huge way to open ourselves to God's providence and presence. And it does bring, if you try it, try the little way, try doing the next right thing. It honestly does start to build a foundation of peace so that we're not thrown all over the place. We're not freaking out. Anything that comes to us, we can do that spiritual jujitsu, so to speak, with the help of God, and put that stuff in the right direction, and then we're doing again the next right thing.
But I love the fact that you know, put in those commas there, with the help of God, because doing the next right thing, and let's underline right there, you know, don't just do the next chaotic thing. Do the next thing in the life that God has called you to now. It not only gets stuff done, but it helps us. The Holy Spirit comes in and reminds us in those moments, God's the one giving you the power to do the dishes. God's the one that's giving you the power to, you know, as St. Therese of Lisieux did, get the spiders out of the pantry that you're afraid of. It's God that's giving us the power to do anything, and the more we connect with Him, the more we receive those answers, the more we're able to do more and more right things to begin to solve whatever is worrying us. And I think, I didn't think where we were going when you started all this with Frozen 2, but you really got around to some heavy hitters in our faith, and we thank you for it so much, Bill.
I appreciate your presence. And Bill, tell us a little bit about what some of the things are coming up in the Theology of the Body Institute.
Sure thing. Starting this Sunday, I can't wait to unpack TOB1. So our flagship course is going to be this Sunday to next Friday. And we introduce about 75, 80 students to John Paul's anthropology. And then we have a few more courses lined up for the fall. So we're at tobinstitute.org, and we'd love to have people come out for a course.
Excellent. tobinstitute.org. Bill, thanks for being with us today, sir. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. We're talking about finding peace. All right, so you've heard Bill Donahue talking about, you know, when we're anxious and we don't know what to do, do the next right thing. But sometimes we're anxious about that, because I don't know what the next right thing is. I'm not sure what step to take. I don't know how to get my energy to support the direction that I want to go in. Let us help you find grace-filled ways to respond to the challenges you're facing, the worry and anxiety that results from those challenges, and discover how you can be receptive in the face of those problems to the movement of the Holy Spirit in that moment. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let us help you overcome those challenges in your life or relationships that are undermining your peace, causing you to worry, or provoking you to anxiety. 877-573-7825. Back with your calls coming up right after this.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do we, the people in the pews, have the responsibility to be witnesses to the gospel in the way we act and speak? Yes, asserts the Catholic Catechism. The Catechism defines witness as an act of justice that establishes truth or makes it known. As a witness, we manifest the new person we have put on in baptism, and we reveal the power of the Holy Spirit which was strengthened in us through reception of confirmation. Martyrdom, says the Catechism, is the supreme witness to the truth given us through faith. St. Ignatius of Antioch boldly proclaimed, "Let me become food of the beast through whom it will be given to reach God." The Catechism hails martyrs as archives of truth written in letters of blood. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. St. John Bosco is an important saint for Catholic families. Although he wasn't a parent, he was renowned for being a compassionate Christian teacher and the founder of a religious order dedicated to helping and educating children. At the time, people believed that children were little better than animals who responded only to physical punishment and harsh correction. One day in prayer, St. John Bosco received a heavenly vision where the Blessed Mother told him that children should be corrected not with blows, but with sweetness and charity. Deeply moved by this vision, Bosco developed an approach to discipline he called the preventive system, in contrast to what he considered to be the heavy-handed repressive system of his day. He taught his followers that even the most willful, defiant children would offer their heartfelt obedience if they were treated with love and respect. And not only did his approach work, but it raised a saint. His student, Saint Dominic Savio, is often called the first fruit of the preventive system. To learn more about Saint John Bosco and his preventive system, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, finding peace, as we talk about how to overcome worry and anxiety and reclaim the peace that God is desiring for us to live in, even in the face of those particular challenges in our life and relationships. 877-573-7825. Let us help you find the solutions you're seeking to those challenges you're facing. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Carly, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
Hi, Carly. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. I am a mom of teenagers and... Okay. Just trying to navigate the storms of technology. I'm old school. I don't think that, I know it's not going away, but it's difficult for me to have peace in my home with these phones, a part of the teenagers' lives, and the pushback that we get in trying to rein things in and create healthy boundaries.
So talk to me about how you're trying to kind of deal with this right now. What are you doing to try to address the phone issue?
Well, there are limits on time on certain apps, especially social media, and because the teenagers are so their lives are so, I don't know if it's their value, but they value their friendship so much that when they don't have access to these social media apps, there's a lot of conflict. And yet I know it creates an addictive behavior if there's too much of it. I mean, I find myself, so...
Right, okay, no, and I'm with you on all that. I agree with you, but I guess, what is it that you want them doing instead?
Like, engaging in family life, you know, being...
Well, what does that mean, though? Well, right, but like, so would you guys... I mean, presumably, the reason I'm asking this, right, when this is a major issue, that usually means that there's not a whole lot going on in the family, and that everybody sort of has the idea that, well, I can do whatever I want, so why can't I do this?
And frankly, because any parent now, and that includes our millennial parents who were raised with some, you know, computer usage, and so even they don't have the history of how to handle what's available now. So every parent falls into this idea of, if they just put down the phone, we would have a family life. And we don't really say, all right, if I'm going to say, hey, we're putting down the phones from this hour to this hour, or for this thing we're going to do, we don't actually come up with things to do. You know, okay, we're going to leave the phones here. We're all going on a hike. We're all going to play a game together.
We're all going to go
to the movies.
We're going to clean up the kitchen after dinner. We're going to clean out the barn.
Whatever those things are, we don't actually give them knowledge of, it's from this time, and this is what we're doing together, and it's a no-phone zone. I'll have my phone in my pocket in case there's an emergency, but other than that, we're not on them. Because we just leave a void, and we're taking, as you were saying, Carly, there's that sort of addiction thing. We're taking away that dopamine hit without filling it with real relationship and real time, and we just expect them to be able to find it and figure it out. we're just setting ourselves up for failure and them for failure. And that's where all the argumentativeness and, as you're saying, Carly, the pushback comes
from. So there's nothing wrong, right, with saying at certain times, okay, you know, the phone just needs to be put away and we're going to have dinner together, or the phone just needs to be put away for the... But if that's the only focus, okay, if the only focus is put your phone away, and there's no concentration on, because this is what we're going to do as a family to have real relationship, then we're setting ourselves up, because we're trying to replace a shallow relationship with friends with no relationship with us. Unless we're taking the lead in creating those rituals of connection within the home, where we are saying, okay, it's time to do this work together as a family. We're going to fold laundry now. We're going to clean up the dishes after the kids. Where we play together. Okay, we're going to play this game, or we're going to take this walk, or we're going to do this thing.
Can I underline? That is so important. Because most of us, when we get annoyed with our kids for their over phone use, and we set up rules, regulations, or take the phone away, and we've created this void, we're taking away any fun and any connection the kids have. And we often will replace it with work time, or we have to have family prayer, but we don't give them a connection with us that says, when you're with me, we can enjoy each other. We can do fun things. We can make great memories. We don't put that as a priority because we're frustrated and angry.
But it's not just about having fun. It's about creating connection, right? Mm-hmm. And through all those different ways of working, playing, talking, praying together. So, you know, hey, you know, put down the phone. I'd love to have a conversation with you. And then you intentionally and bring in a conversation. Or yeah, let's take some time to pray about this and such. The point is that when the reason that kids become obsessed with their phones is that we're not doing a good enough job teaching them how to have real relationship in the family, and that's on us. We have to teach our kids how to do that, because kids don't know how to have relationship, and so they gravitate toward the easiest relationship they can find, which is their phone. And again, we can set limits on that. We should set limits on that, but limits without some kind of structure that facilitates real relationship, it's just going to give us more pushback, because what we're really saying to them is, don't have relationship, don't value relationship, don't value your friends, don't value, and I'm not giving anything to replace it.
And it's funny, I just heard yesterday, Carly, a study while I was driving around, I was listening to the radio, and they were talking about some of the schools in the United States who have now banned phones during the day. And they were talking about the fact that high schoolers, not just grade schoolers, high schoolers, were so much happier, so much more peaceful, and were suddenly relating to and talking to each other. But it didn't happen spontaneously. These school systems that decided to do this invested in board games for the kids to play together at lunchtime and break times and times when they didn't, you know, were done with their schoolwork in a classroom. They had group discussion times where they would actually, you know, put a couple of different conversational things out there and have the kids group up and discuss things. They made sure that they were building interesting projects into the day that weren't necessarily academically heavy, but allowed kids to learn to interact with one another again. And that's what's ratcheted up the mental health and well-being of the kids in these schools that are saying, no, 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 no phones. So taking a look at the success of that, we can see as parents that if we begin to do that kind of thing ourselves, you know, okay, pick a night of the week, we're going to have game night, and we buy some board games and we have game night. Okay, pick a different night of the week, we're going to bake something together, and we're all going to do it together, and then we're, you know, while it's cooking, we'll watch a movie, and then we'll have whatever we baked. But we're doing things in the categories of working, playing, talking, and praying together that allow us to teach our children, and frankly ourselves now as adults, because we're getting just as sucked in, everybody, to have relationship with our families again. And it's a wonderful thing to do, to create that relationship between us and our children, but also to create it within the sibling groups. Because we're seeing more and more that when kids grow up and they leave the house, they're not necessarily keeping in touch with their siblings anymore. So we want to form that culture of connectedness in our family life.
Now, at first, when you start doing this, of course, the kids are going to push back, because if they're not used to this kind of family life, then, you know, they're going to go, why now?
And think about, you know, what it feels like if you, let's say you injured your ankle and you've iced it and the swelling's gone down a little bit, but the first time you try to walk on it, you're going to scream. You're going to like hobble because you're not used to using it anymore. You're going to get some of that from the kids. But if you set up these rituals of connection, they'll get more and more used to it and begin to accommodate and then enjoy it.
Yeah. So don't let the pushback stop you from doing these things, and don't let their grumpiness while you're doing these things stop you from doing them again. It's a matter of getting them used to having to have healthy relationship and learning how to really connect with an actual person, the people in your family. But resist the temptation to just say, well, these phones are awful, and if I just get them to put down the phones, then everything will be fine. Because that's just not the case. We need to teach our kids how to have relationship and what family life is really like. And that's what gets them to put down their phones more willingly. So I want to encourage you with two things, okay? One, I'd love for you to pick up a copy of Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, which is really going to talk more about how to do this in your home. But I also would love for you to subscribe to the Catholic Home app, and that's kind of, I realize you're not loving phones, but I'm talking about an app. But this is an app that will actually give you the coaching that you need. You can post questions as you're kind of struggling with this. I tried to do a game with the kids, and they were pushing back, and they were grumpy about it. What do I do? And you can get real-time answers to those kinds of questions and ongoing coaching to really live this stuff out, plus tons of creative resources to make following these principles and living your faith at home more simple and fun. So check it out. Download the Catholic HOM app. It stands for Households on Mission. And you can interact with Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches every day if you want, and get the resources that you need to really build this family life that lets your kids learn to value real relationship over digital relationships. Thanks so much for the call, Carly. I hope that these suggestions will point you in the right direction and give you some new ways to think about this, because my heart's right there with you.
Oh, yeah.
But it's all about the approach. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Our show today, titled Finding Peace. Has worry become a full-time job? I want to help you clock out and start finding more peaceful ways of living and spending your time. If you are struggling with particular challenges in your life or relationships that you're looking for grace-filled solutions for that help you rediscover your peace, we are here for you at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. 573-7825.
Before we take our break, we want to send out congratulations to another EWTN radio partner. Archangel Radio, serving Mobile, Alabama, is celebrating 15 years with us.
Congratulations to Ellen Taylor and her team at WNGLAM and FM from all of us here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you are tuning into EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN radio station with your prayers, for sure, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN radio going strong for decades to come. Why? Well, because we want to support you in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. And congratulations again to Ellen Taylor and her team at WNGL in Mobile, Alabama, and to everyone who keeps EWTN Catholic Radio going strong, including you, the listener. With that, we're heading out to a break, but it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from John chapter 14, verse 27.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
You know, and as you were saying earlier, Lisa, you know, we hear a verse like this, and our response often is not to feel peaceful, it's to feel guilty.
Yeah, and then we feel anxiety, worry, and guilt. And that's a really rotten combination.
But Jesus isn't giving us a command. He's giving us an invitation. He's saying, I give you peace. In other words, in relationship with me, you will find peace. And so if your hearts are troubled, draw closer to me. And let me give you the peace. He's not saying, just create peace on your own so that you can be a good Christian and then I'll be able to love you. No, I know you're not peaceful. Come closer to me, and I will give you that peace as you draw closer to me and deeper in relationship with me. a reminder of the theme we've been discussing throughout the whole program, that anxiety is not really the result of the problems that we face, but the result of allowing the problems to separate us from God, from the people who love us and support us, and even from our own best selves. And this verse reminds us to get back in touch with those resources and those relationships. 877-573-7825, the show today titled Finding Peace. We want to help you overcome the challenges you're facing in your life or relationships that are undermining your peace today. Give us a call. Let's work it out together and help you find the solutions you're looking for and the peace that you're aching for. 877-573-7825. We'll be back right after this.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Finding Peace, as we talk about those challenges that cause us to be anxious or worried, those struggles that we face that undermine our peace. How can we stay peaceful through the challenges, or get back to that sense of peace once worry and anxiety have taken hold of our hearts? Give us a call. Let's work it out together today on More to Life at 877-573-7825.
Greg, we have a question here from Abby, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio. She says, my husband is talking a lot about moving to a more conservative state that would be much less expensive to live in terms of housing prices, taxes, etc. And all our expenses would be lowered by that. But he's waiting for me to agree before he starts looking for a new job. I have a lot of anxiety and worry about this because all our family on both sides, parents, aunts, siblings, all live within an hour of where we are living now. He wants to live 7 to 10 hours from our present location. I don't want to lose our family relationships just to move. He says they can travel to see us, but I know that isn't likely. He says it will give us the freedom to work on our own family and to save for our future and our kids' future.
How do we decide what is right for our family? This makes me very nervous and feels like I'm giving up way too much if we do this. I'm very concerned. Please help. And that's Abby listening in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
All right, Abby, thank you so much for the question. So I'm going to walk through some steps of discernment, a couple discernment, to really just give you some principles for moving forward with this. First, I want to change how you're framing the question. You know, it's basically you're kind of living out the old Clash song, "Shall I stay or shall I go?" Right? And we do that all the time, where we polarize something. We'll say, "Well, I have two choices, and both of them stink. So now, which one do I have to pick from?" And then we feel stuck. What I would like you to do instead is start with the values that each position represents and be bringing those to God together, right? So you're praying together every day. And if you're not, then it's okay. I'm going to walk you through how to do this anyway. But this, you can't make these kinds of decisions on your own. You need to be praying about it. And here's how I want you to pray about it. You're going to God every day with your husband. And you're saying, "Okay, Lord, my husband, he could either speak this or you could speak this. He really wants more support for our values. He wants to live in a community that is more agreeable to our values, to our faith. He wants this support or that support or this. He wants to have this need met that's not being. He wants to have time to work on our family relationships, and I want to be able to do all that too. But I also want to be able to maintain relationships with my extended family and the people that we've created community with. And we don't know how to do that. Help us to find a solution that will enable us to respond to all of the needs that you've placed on both of our hearts, and help us to take care of each other while we work together to figure that out." The reason I'm asking you to change your approach is because as long as you just go back and forth with "should we move" or "should we stay," those are your only two choices. But if you start by identifying the values behind each of those choices, and you bring those to God and you bring those to conversation and say, "How could we work together with God to create a solution that would really check all the boxes on both of our hearts, not just pursue this way or that way?" You're leaving yourself open now to being creative and cooperating with the Holy Spirit to find the solution that God has in his heart for you. And I'm not suggesting that this is magical. What I'm saying is that it gives you grace to really begin to look at not just the two solutions that come to mind right away, but to all the possibilities that would enable you to meet the needs that God has placed on both of your hearts. And here's the thing. This is our deeper dive discussion this week on Catholic Home. The idea that when we can't figure out how to solve a need, we tend to try to solve the problem by just ignoring the need and picking one thing over another and saying, "Well, it'll all sort itself out." And it doesn't. We just get resentful, or we break down, or we burn out. When we're struggling because we don't know how to meet a need, we have to step back and recognize, first of all, that God has given us the needs he's given us. Those needs are there to point to what it takes for us to thrive. And by bringing those needs back to God and saying, "All right, Lord, teach us how to meet these needs in ways that check all the boxes," what you're doing is learning how to create the marriage and family life that God wants for you, because the needs that he's placed on your heart and your husband's heart and the children's heart are kind of a treasure map to discovering the family life that God wants for you. And by looking at those needs and reading that map, and not just saying, "Well, we're going to read half the map," or "we're going to read this quarter of the map," by looking at the whole map and saying, "These are all the needs that God has placed on our hearts, and he has a plan for putting them together. I don't know what that is, but he does, and we're going to keep bringing that to him and asking him to teach us how to meet all those needs and create the life that would enable us to meet all those needs, and work together while we work, and to take care of each other while we work to figure out his will." And the more we do that, the more peace we're going to have, as opposed to feeling like we have to sort all that out by ourselves and just are limited to the answers that immediately spring to our minds. So I really want you to focus on that process. We talk about how to do this more in our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. It talks a lot about how to bring God into every part of your marriage, but especially how to discern things as a couple. Because as Catholic couples, we don't have any business just trying to stumble through these things on our own. God has a plan for your marriage. God has a plan for your family life. He has a plan for where he wants you to live and how he wants you to live. But we can't figure that out unless we're bringing that to him every day and asking, Lord, teach us how to build the marriage and family life that you want us to. And teach us how to meet all the needs you've placed on our hearts so that we can create the marriage and family life you're calling us to by listening to you speaking to us through all the needs that you've placed on our hearts. The more we're able to do that, the more we're able to find the peace that comes from living in God's will. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. And if you're looking for more ways to reclaim your peace, especially in the face of the problems you're experiencing in your life or relationships, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.